could feel that in my chest. I'm like, what do you mean? So I'm glad we had that last little exchange about that. That's just really, really helpful. So I want to start with the song, and this is the song that was being sung to me when I woke up this morning. But it's going to take me a second because I'm going to try and do this the right way. Let's see. Don and I looked at this the other night, and so there's my American Express bill. It's funny because what I need is covered up here. Let me get rid of some. There it is. And whoops. So let me just one more second, guys. Thank you for your patience. Learning new stuff all the time. All right. So let me hit play. Here we go.
Yeah. I know your eyes in the morning sun. I feel you touch me in the pouring rain. In the moment that you wander far from me, I wanna feel you in my arms again. Will you come to me on a summer breeze? Keep me warm in your love, then you softly leave. And it's me you need to show how deep is your love. To my very soul, you're the light in my deepest, darkest hour. You're my savior when I fall. And you may not think that I care for you, and you know deep inside that I really do. And it's me you need to show.
Yeah, I think I was telling Dawn when she was here about how I used to be awakened in the mornings with a song from Holy Spirit, and that didn't seem to be occurring a lot lately, but it sure did this morning. You know, it's one of those things, you wake up and you're singing it, and and it comes in every, and then suddenly I get clear. I'm like, oh, there's a song playing. Oh, how sweet. What a great song. but I think that the song is really relevant. Imagine that to what's going on. Gosh, I don't even know where to start with this guy. Sorry for the, there she said, sorry. I think I heard Regina talking about it. I know I heard Regina talking about it, and I heard Ann talking about it as well. It's like this idea that you might go to inner wisdom and somehow the well has run dry, or, you know, you're not clear enough today, or, but what really seems to be going on for me is some fundamental questioning about, and it's weird, but it's, fundamental questioning of, is the truth really true? And it just sounds so silly to say out loud that I'm reluctant to do that, but there I said it. and I guess when I say I heard Ann talking about it, it was more in the context that, that I'm experiencing it. I know the truth is true when I hear Regina speak it, right? Yeah. Clearly that resonates. She's got a long history with it. She's a good rule follower, you know, meaning the rules, whatever practice Holy Spirit gives to her. She practices diligently. And I hear all the comparison in that. So it may be true for some people, but is it really true for me? Right. Am I making this up? Maybe I'm not doing it well enough to get consistent wisdom, or maybe I only got lucky when I wrote those really profound things with inner wisdom, right? So I have some other things that I could talk about. So I'm wondering where to start looking at my journaling, because my journaling this morning went to that issue. So I'm gonna start in the middle of what feels like the middle here, but I'm going to do it. And this is a reading from Inner Ramana, Clarity on Practice. Surrender is a decision to put aside the mind completely. It is recognition that the answer cannot come from the mind. It is quitting the mind and turning to higher knowledge for guidance without any lingering thoughts that through the ideas and education of mind, you know what to do. And I wrote a question. Father, sometimes I feel lost and as if I am just going through the motions. It feels like the true and proper practice of your teachings is just out of reach, and that it is something that I am unable to do. What would you say to me about this? And the answer: this thought is just a thought like any other. This thought is the resistance of ego that would keep. There's two words that I wrote down here that don't make sense. This thought is the resistance of ego that would give you a ready excuse not to practice as I ask you to practice. This thought is that practice is something that I'm unable to do. This thought is just a thought like any other. This thought is the resistance of ego that would give you a ready excuse not to practice as I ask you to practice. It is indeed like the quote says, whether you believe you can or believe you can't, you are right. You must believe in the efficacy of the teachings in order to practice them. This you know. What you often do is listen to the thoughts that tell you that you alone are unable to do the practices to realize self. Ask yourself, do you believe in that which you have oriented your life around? This is the question that you leave lingering. Yeah, this is the This is the chatter in the mind that often goes unnoticed, but it doesn't mean it goes unchattered, right? So I'm listening to it, but I'm not really noticing that I'm listening to it. You know, what if you're wrong? What if you're making all of this up? What if you can't do it? What if only Regina can do it? What if only Regina and the rest of the world can do it and you can't do it? You know, you can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. That's the mental chatter. So ask yourself, do you believe in that which you have oriented your life around? This is the question that you leave lingering. This is the question that must be explored. Do you believe? Look at the fear in your mind, which is pretty extreme because it's making me cry. I can barely read this. And it didn't feel, and it's so funny because, I love being able to share with you guys, because when I write this, I can't hear it. When I reread it after I write it, I can't hear it. You know, I hear it at some level, but when I share it with you guys, it's just like really powerful. I can hear it and feel it and know the truth of it, you know, just can feel the depth of it. So, okay, so let me ask again. Ask yourself again, do you believe in that which you have oriented your life around? This is the question that you leave lingering. This is the question that must be explored. Do you believe? Look at the fear in your mind around this question. What are you doing that leaves that question unanswered? Are you still believing in reward for your efforting? Are you still believing in reward for your efforting? You must leave that belief behind. Do you still believe that self-realization is only for a few? Do you still believe that you are just not good enough, smart enough, or talented enough to gain your heart's desire? These are all stories. I'm going to get through this. These are all stories told by the mind to keep you from seeing the false beliefs you have about who you really are. These are merely ego defenses to keep you from looking. Look for these thoughts and ask, who is whispering them to you? Don't just accept them as true. Look at them squarely and ask to see the truth beyond them. So there's more, but I'm crying, but I'm chuckling because I think, you know, God, what a perfect song, right? How deep is your love? I really need to know. So I got the question and the answer all in the space of a few hours here. So let me finish reading this and we'll see if we need to go back and look at it during this session anyway, some more. Look for these thoughts and ask who is whispering them to you. Don't just accept them as true. Look at them squarely and ask to see the truth beyond them. Have faith that the true answers will be given. Courage is required. You must look squarely at the beliefs that you would prefer to run from. Just recognize this repeated pattern and ask me for help to see beyond them. And in all caps, you cannot fail. Wow. Yeah, see, I didn't cry when I wrote that. I didn't cry when I read it. I reread it earlier, but Again, it's just, you know, it just tells me how deeply I am, how deeply ingrained these beliefs are, you know, in my unworthiness, in my inability to get what everybody else is surely getting. and how firmly I hold to these beliefs. But again, I mean, I'll go to the top of this paragraph again and note this thought is just a thought like any other. This thought is the resistance of ego that would give you a ready excuse not to practice as I ask you to practice, right? If you don't try, you can't fail. I mean, that's running from the thought, right? Oh, I don't want to deal with that thought. I'm not going to. So yeah, that's just ego avoidance. And it's very, very cleverly disguised as belief and fear. And, you know, in order to believe the thought that the truth isn't true, I'm not going to get this, I can't do this, maybe Regina or somebody else can, but I can't, I have to ignore decades of evidence to the contrary. I have to ignore every piece of guidance I've ever received in order to believe the truth isn't true. I have to ignore every prompt that's come into the mind that's steered me in the right direction. I have to ignore every piece of wisdom that I've ever written in this journal in order to believe that the truth isn't true. Because I guarantee you, that stuff that's been written in this journal, I couldn't make that up. So, you know, we talk about what you give believing attention to. And man, you know, if I'm looking for proof, there's a whole body of proof here for years and years and years and years and years that I have to turn away from and go, what? Oh, okay. Oh, I am a piece of shit. Okay. I got you. I hear you. I believe you. But I have to be willing to turn towards the belief. I have to be willing to hear what's being said. And I have to be willing to look at, again, who's whispering this? Who is the I that says, you're never going to get this? Who is the I that says, you can't do this? Who's the I that says you're not good enough, smart enough, or talented enough to gain your heart's desire? And by the way, you don't even know what your heart's desire is. Those are just words you wrote down. I mean, that. There's more here. Actually, I think I want to back up and read an earlier entry because it's tied to this the rest of this part. This is from December the 5th. And this is Pramina Ramana, as I recall. The power that makes the universe turn is you. This is not a vain statement. This is merely absolute truth. The power that makes the universe turn is you. The world and all that you experience, your universe of objects and relationships and reactions, comes from you. It comes from your belief in these experiences and your thoughts about them. This is why, in brief, why the world fades from sight as you practice the mantra and surrender. The world comes from your attachment to your thoughts. As you detach from these thoughts, there is no more power to make a world. And of that reading, I said, in reading these words this morning, I saw this idea at a deeper level than I had before. I saw that even though I had said these things and taught this idea, I was limiting it to perception. As in, if you have negative thoughts, you will experience a negative world. If you have thoughts of separation, you will experience a world where separation seems to be truth. When I heard them this morning, I saw them in the sense that without my input, the world will cease to exist. I feel confusion and resistance around that thought now. What would you have me see in this reading or in me about the reading? Inner Wisdom said, first, let's talk about your fear that you cannot hear me. I am you. How could you not hear me? Relax and know that the wisdom that comes through you is you. Yeah, I just, when I reread that, I just, I just see the consistency of that thought. You know, you're making all this up. You're just pretending. So, Inner Wisdom says, let's just get that out of the right way right now. That's not true. You're not making this up. You are reaching to the depths of you where the truth lives. I am you. How could you not hear me? Relax and know that the wisdom that comes through you is you. Now let's talk about the reading and your reaction. It is true that there is no world in that without you, it would cease to exist. That is because, as you said, it is made of consciousness, by consciousness, and for consciousness. So in that sense, your previous understanding of these words is correct. Consciousness experiences the world through you as a point of experience. There is no uniqueness here. There is no part of consciousness that can be pointed to as Jacqueline. It may be helpful to envision yourself as a portal or window through which consciousness sees. Yeah, and I just, when I look at this, I just see a real, I'm just going to say the words. Oh, I see a real battle in the mind, right? I see fear, you know? I see the fear of, letting go of what I think I know, where I think my safety lies. I know I've been saying this for years, and they all sound like good ideas. And sometimes I feel them to the depth of my being, but that's. Not always the case. It's always there, but I don't always feel them to the depth of my being. So the statement is, consciousness experiences the world through you as a point of experience. There is no uniqueness here. There is no part of consciousness that can be pointed to as Jacqueline. It may be helpful to envision yourself as a portal or window through which consciousness sees. Just as Nisargadatta told us, however, in reality, each experience has its own experiencer. Hey, Ann. Obviously, and this is a quote from Nisargadatta, I am that. Obviously, everything experienced is an experience. And in every experience, there arises the experiencer of it. Memory creates the illusion of continuity. In reality, each experience has its own experiencer, and the sense of identity is due to the common factor at the root of all experiencer-experience relations. Identity and continuity are not the same. Just as each flower has its own color, but all colors are caused by the same light, so do many experiences appear in the undivided and indivisible awareness, each separate in memory, identical in essence. This essence is the root, the foundation, the timeless and spaceless possibility of all experience. And I see a lot in there. You know, Regina was just talking about that, the Tao as the source of everything. This continuity that Nisargadatta is pointing to is really the continuity of consciousness, right? The continuity is even too small a word. All is made of consciousness, by consciousness, and for consciousness. This essence is the root, the foundation, the timeless and spaceless possibility of all experience. And certainly, you know, when I ask if the truth is true, I got to tell you that I have had the experience of myself as unlimited, unbound, potentiality. That just sounds so flat, but it's just like this gushing, surging life. It's funny because Regina was talking about that idea of nothingness versus everythingness. And the idea of potentiality sounds like, okay, whatever. There's just so much life in that, so much. Truth in that. So again, I just want to back up this idea. Consciousness experiences the world through you as a point of experience. There is no uniqueness here. There's no trying and failing. There's no, you know, doing better or worse than. It's impossible. That's the misperception. There is no uniqueness here. There is no part of consciousness that can be pointed to as Jacqueline. it may be helpful to envision yourself as a portal or window through which consciousness sees. Just as Nisargadatta told us, however, in reality, each experience has its own experiencer. So it is not Jacqueline who sees, who creates, who shapes reality. This is the illusion that keeps you seemingly bound to a single window. To realize that this perspective is merely one of infinite possibilities is to become self-realized or unattached. It is difficult to comprehend the implications of this honor while looking out a single window. And I had questioned the word honor, and I looked at that again in my journaling today. That's why, at least why I think I wanted to step back and look at this writing. So I just want to, I'm going to back up and read this sentence. It is not Jacqueline who sees, who creates, who shapes reality. This is the illusion that keeps you seemingly bound to a single window. To realize that this perspective is merely one of infinite possibilities is to become self-realized or unattached. It is difficult to comprehend the implications of this honor while looking out a single window. This is why I have told you to trust that it is true. Do not try to work it out in your understanding. Just remember not to select thoughts from among those that are presented to you. It is better to try and feel that you are not the thoughts that appear in the mind. See them and see they are not you and tell you nothing of the truth of all that you are. This is the way in which you begin to experience yourself as the writer of the script and not one of the characters that plays out the script as it is written. Be with this. That is all that is required. The thinking mind will not assist because of your identification with that singular perspective that is the thinking mind. Simply rest and allow the realization to unfold. Again, mind can't see what's beyond mind. So when ego, mind, the thinking mind goes, you suck, you can't do this. In fact, there's nothing to be done. You know, there's nothing beyond me, 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 me. I'm thinking, I'm you. And this is all you get. And if you're seeing something beyond me, you're making it up. I mean, those are the stories. But of course, that's a story. Because that thinking mind cannot think, cannot see beyond itself. Don says, so funny too, because right now it looks like you're looking at me through Zoom with this window around you. Yeah, here I am. And they... Right? So, I can limit myself to this little window. By believing that the truth is not true, by believing that this singular perspective is all that there is. But as we were told a moment ago, know, that's just a thought. It's just a thought like any other thought when that thought comes in. Feel that you're not the thought that appears in the mind. See it and see that it tells me nothing of the truth. You know, again, it says this is the way in which you begin to experience yourself as the writer of the script and not one of the characters that plays out the script as it is written. You know, just because that's the script I've been reading and I've been playing in my head for all these years doesn't mean that's the script I have to stick to. In fact, when we were teaching NTI last night, this idea of the script as written came up. And I could see some confusion in the mind around it, although I think I got that down. I've got the concept down, right? So after NTI, I went back and looked again at, looked in the index of NTI and looked at Acts chapters like 25 through 27 that talked about the script as written. It talks about if you continue to listen to the thinking mind, if you believe the thinking mind is who you are, you miss the opportunity to step out through the slits in the script. And, you know, there may be a lot more unpacking there, but that, I mean, really, the import of that for me is the opportunity to step out through the slits in the script. You no longer have to play the limited role. You no longer have to believe that you're stuck to this singular perspective, looking out this little window. Let me just see where I want to go from here because I've been skipping around. This is a good one. This is 12:10. Not that that's relevant, but it's 12 December the 10th journaling, and this says, and I don't know what this is from. It's a quote from the tip that day, I guess, or, you know, the whatever commentary was that day. Realization of life is important, for without such realization, you will cling to the mind that fears. Only in peace and security of not knowing can you let go. And I asked, Father, what would you share with me about realization of life and not knowing? the response says, good morning. Thank you for your willingness to listen to me in stillness. It is through this practice that we are able to rekindle your not knowingness. The more you practice being still, the easier it is for you to move beyond the thoughts of the limited mind to the all-encompassing not knowing that is the realization of life. You are recognizing fear as you settle within the heart. Know that the fear is a sentinel posted there to keep you from venturing into the place where life is. Resting here takes courage. It is courage that is beyond the you that thought tells you you are. It is indeed the courage to be. It's funny because Regina was talking about reading religious books in college and this morning, and then that's what came up for me when I wrote that. I took a religions class in college, and we read Paul Tillich's The Courage to Be. And that has come back over the years, that I need to look at that again. So anyway, with this writing, I went to Kindle and bought the book. Not that I've read it, but it's talking, but, you know, I've read some of the, whatever, liner notes. No, that's for albums, but you get the idea. That are talking about this existential angst, right? The courage to be in the face of not knowing. But at any rate, so as I settled down to get quiet, I felt fear, and I have been feeling some fear in recent days. So again, know that the fear is a sentinel, a guard, right? The fear is a sentinel posted there to keep you from venturing into the place where life is. Resting here takes courage. It is courage that is beyond the you that thought tells you you are. It is indeed the courage to be. Your willingness to ask for guidance and your willingness to rest in silence serve you well. The words you contemplate are simply another way of stating what we have just said. Do the practice. Be still. Ask within for the answer to who am I? It is all a matter of simply letting go of the mind as your guide to find the answer to that question. I asked, what else would you have me know or do that would help me? And the answer, simply remember that your thoughts are not true. If you have any question as to their truthfulness, ask me. Practice your mantra, I am that I am, as instructed in Inner Ramana. This practice helps expose what you might otherwise be tempted to dismiss as business as usual. All right. What else would you have me know or do that would help me? Simply remember that your thoughts are not true. If you have any question as to their truthfulness, ask me. Practice your mantra, I am that I am, as instructed in Inner Ramana. This practice helps expose what you might otherwise be tempted to dismiss as business as usual. Increase your meditation practice so that you are able to really move to that place beyond mind. Let your willingness guide you in this practice. You are blessed. There is no need to be afraid. Love. Yeah, I mean, it's what I take this to be saying is this. Doing the practice as instructed in Inner Ramana. That I talked about last night in NTI, this using the I am that I am practice to see how to use it as a pause to look back and see the stories that were being told in the mind. I think it's just putting a exclamation point on the efficacy of that practice. All right, so I want to another hour. No, I want to read to you some of the rest of what came this morning. Something I'll be spending some more time with, I believe. The issue of the certainty of death is coming up as something that should be explored. I can't tell you how many avenues this is coming in from. It's a theme in this month's movie. If you all subscribe to Gangaji you might have gotten it as well, message this morning, someone in her community died, and there's a talk on there. I haven't listened to it yet, but there's a talk on there about that. I saw it when I checked the radio computer a while ago. I saw a little picture of Muji on there, and either an upcoming program or one that recently played on Awakening Together about the contemplation of death as a practice, a helpful practice. And it's just been coming up in real little subtle ways, you know, this whole smoking issue. Today's my deceased sister's birthday. Just lots of stuff. So anyway, it's up. It's up to be looked at. So the issue of the certainty of death is coming up as something that should be explored. I cannot ignore the presence of this opportunity to see what you would have me see in this. Is there anything you would share with me on this topic this morning? And the answer, first, let's rest in gratitude for your willingness to be open to the lessons that I would teach. Your ideas of death are not limited to the death of the body. Where there was once a time when you believe you would gladly have welcomed death, that idea itself was a false belief implanted there by the ego's need to survive, by its desire to escape the suffering brought about by your own misperception. The reason death is coming up to be looked at now is because it is necessary for you to strengthen your resolve to let go of ego, to invite the death of the thinking mind. If you are not certain that you wish to let go ego, thinking mind, you will never gather the resolve to do so. Yes, this contemplation will lead you to uncover those beliefs that keep you from moving forward to awakening unto the truth of your being. Oh yeah, and I heard Regina say this next line, and again, it's coming up all over. But I'm listening to her old Holy Spirit audios, she asked this question. But yes, this contemplation will lead you to uncover those beliefs that keep you from moving forward to awakening unto the truth of your being. What would you do if you knew you only had 6 months to live? How would you spend your time? What is important to you from that perspective? Doesn't this give you clarity on the truth of your relationship to me? In other words, doesn't this tell you which of your beliefs can be trusted? Doesn't this give you perspective on whether the truth is true? Doesn't this cause you to question the value of the thinking mind's dictates? Rest with the knowledge that ego will die. This death can occur when the body dies, or you can bring about its early demise and rest in the aftermath of a discarded identity. Amen. It really does answer those questions, you know, because where we started this was, you know, do you believe what you've centered your life around? Ask yourself, do you believe in that which you have oriented your life around? And if you ask, okay, if I got 6 months to live, what's important? Damn right I believe in it. Damn right this is what I would be doing. Yeah, thanks, Sharon. I see that. Sharon says, death has been coming up for me. Yeah. So it really does help. I mean, just even at this feels like a real light surface level of this, just beginning to look at this contemplation, but it really does help me understand the truth is true. It really does help me turn my attention from the bullshit voice that, that's going, no, it's not true. It's not true. And if it was, you could find it. It really does help turn from that. Um, All right, I want to. Cognizant of the time, so let me just read the next paragraph. It comes into your mind to ask me about the honor of peering through the portal of Jacqueline that was referenced a few days ago. The word honor was chosen as a reverence of the potential we call life. The word honor suggests the duty to be a good shepherd of experience, to keep experience from being diluted, D-E-L-U-D-E-D, or diluted, D-I-L-U-T-E-D. The word honor suggests the duty to be a good shepherd of experience, to keep experience from being diluted or diluted by the exercise of limiting beliefs about your ability to access all that is as it is. Remember, as you look out on the seeming world, what an honor it is to play within the arena of all beingness. What a lovely opportunity to experience beingness. What are you doing with this gift? Are you employing it to the best of your ability to get the most out of this experience? Or are you still standing on the shore, afraid to get your hair wet? You know what you want. It is time to quit pretending. It is time to quit listening to your indecision. Jump in with both feet. Honor the honor of living this life. What a joy it is to see from the fullness of consciousness of being. Immerse yourself in this experience with full knowledge that the perspective from which you see will not last forever. Be grateful for this and for all things. I am grateful. I'm grateful for you guys. I'm grateful for this opportunity to share. And I'm grateful to Holy Spirit, inner wisdom. And I love you, and I'll see you next time.